Good morning, children. This morning, the theme of my children's lesson is, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I wanted to talk about, do we live unselfishly, or are we greedy? What does unselfish mean? I think when we're unselfish, we focus more on others, and it gives us joy when we can give or help others. I have a story here. I don't think it's a true story, but it brings out a kind of a neat meaning, or a neat point. So I'll read that, and then I'll talk some more. Polly was a dear girl who lived on a large farm with plenty of chickens, cows, and horses, but Polly never thought much about how nice these all were, for her father and mother were always hard at work. The two brothers worked with their father, her sister helped her mother in the house, and Polly washed the dishes and fed the chickens and ran errands for the family, and for all the summer boarders besides. One of the boarders, Miss Carrie, was watching Polly shell peas one morning and thinking that she did a great deal of work for such a little girl. Finally, she asked, "How old are you, Polly?"
8, Polly answered.
"Almost 9, said her mother. "When is her birthday?" asked Miss Carrie. "Well, let me see. It is this month sometime, the 17th of July. I declare, I'd have forgotten all about it if you hadn't spoken." And Mrs. Jones went up with her work again. "What's a birthday?" Polly asked shyly. "Why, Polly," exclaimed Miss Carrie, "don't you know? It's the anniversary of the day you were born. Don't you ever have a birthday present, Polly?"
"No," said Polly, looking puzzled.
"We never have much time for these things," Polly's mother said. "It's about all I can do to remember Christmas." "Yes, I know," Miss Carrie said, but she resolved that Polly should have a birthday. When she came down to breakfast the morning of the 17th, Miss Carrie met Polly in the hall and, putting a little purse in her hand, said kindly, "Here, Polly, is something for you to buy birthday presents with." Polly opened the little bag and found in it 9 bright silver quarters. She ran as fast as she could to tell her mother. "Why, child," her mother said, "that's too much money for you to spend. You would better save it. It will help you buy a pair of shoes and a warm dress for next winter." Almost any girl would have cried at this, and Polly's eyes did fill with tears. But as her mother wanted her to help put the breakfast on, she took the plate of muffins into the dining room. Miss Carrie noticed the wet lashes and said, "Mrs. Jones, please let Polly go down to the stores today and spend her birthday money." Mrs. Jones could not refuse this request, so after she had put the baby to sleep, Polly was allowed to go down to the village, which was a good 2 miles away, all by herself. The happy girl would have willingly walked 5 miles to spend her precious money. It was late in the afternoon when she came back. The boarders were lounging about, waiting for the supper bell to ring. They all smiled at the little figure toiling up the road with her arms full of bundles. Polly smiled back radiantly through the dust that covered her round little face as she called to Miss Carrie, "Oh, I've got all these things. Please come into the kitchen and see." "No, it's warm up there," Miss Carrie said. "Come to the living room where it's cool and we can all see." So they went into the house, and Polly began to unwrap her packages and exhibit her purchases. "There," she said as she tore the paper from an odd-shaped bundle, "this is for Mother." She held up an egg beater, because it takes so long to beat eggs with a fork. The boarders looked at each other in surprise, but Polly was too busy to notice. She fairly beamed as she held up a green glass necktie pin for inspection. "Isn't it lovely?" she said. "This one is for Father." "This isn't much," she continued, opening a small bundle. "Only a rattle for baby. It costs 5 cents. The boarders looked on in silence as the busy little fingers untied strings. No one knew whether to laugh or to feel sorry. It was wonderful what 9 quarters would buy, and not strange that the little girl had spent a whole half day shopping. There was a blue tie for Brother Dan, and a pink one for Tim, a yellow hair ribbon for Sister Linda, some hairpins for Grandma, and a small bottle of cologne for Jake, the hired man. Then there was but one package left. Polly patted this lovingly as she opened it. "This is the nicest of all, and it's for you," she said, as she handed Miss Carrie a box of pink writing paper. It seemed too bad that you only had white paper to write on when you write so lovely. "So I got you this. Isn't it pretty?" "Why, it's beautiful, Polly dear," Miss Carrie said. "But what have you bought for your birthday present?" "Why, these," said Polly. These are all my presents." "Presents are something we give away, aren't they?" And Polly looked around, wondering why all were so still. "It is more blessed to give than to receive," said one of the boarders softly. And Miss Carrie put her arms around Polly and kissed the hot, dusty little face again and again. "It's been a lovely day," Polly said. "I never had any presents to give away before, and I think birthdays are just lovely." The next month, after Miss Carrie returned to the city, she had a birthday, and there came to Polly a most wonderful doll with beautiful clothes and a card saying, "For Polly on my birthday, from Lena Carey," which, by the way, immediately came the doll's name. Miss Carey was not the only one who caught Polly's idea of a birthday. The rest of the boarders remembered, and through the year, each one's birthday came. Polly received a gift to delight her generous little heart. When the 17th of July came around again, Miss Carey was not on the farm, but she sent Polly a little silk bag with 10 silver quarters in it, and Polly still thinks that birthdays are lovely. So that's a story of someone who is unselfish. She had much joy in giving to others what she had available to her. Next, I'd like to talk some about Gehazi. Gehazi was the opposite. He was someone who was greedy. And I'll start out here by talking a little bit about Naaman so you understand the story better. Naaman was the commander of an Aramean army, and he had leprosy. The Arameans had invaded the land of Israel, and among the people they captured was a young girl who had been given to Naaman's wife as a maid. So the Arameans went into the land of Israel, probably a war, and there was this little girl that they captured and they took back, and she was became a slave to Naaman's wife. So the young girl told Naaman's wife that she knows of a prophet in the land of Samaria that could heal him. And I'm sure he had his doubts at first, but he probably thought, well, if I don't do something, I'm going to start losing fingers and hands, and eventually I'm just going to die. So it says he decided to go. So Naaman took 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold, and 10 sets of clothes as gifts to give to the prophet. So I was searching a little bit. So 750 pounds of silver in today's value is about $250,000. And 150 pounds of gold. So back then, they say it could be, each of those could be worth between $2 and $4 million. So it was lots of money. When Naaman came to Elisha's house, Elisha sent his servant Gehazi out to talk to Naaman. So Naaman, I'm sure he was, I think the Bible says it, I'm not sure, but he was angry, and he thought, I come all this ways to see Elisha, and he sends his servant out to tell me that I should go over to the dirty river, and I should wash in that. He said, I think he mentions that where we came from, there was much nicer bodies of water, maybe clearer water, clean water. He's like, he just didn't get it. He's like, I don't see the point. I'm just going to go back home. But one of his servants, had convinced him that he should go to the river. He said, you know, if he would have asked you of hard things to do, things where you would have maybe had to travel across the country or maybe pay larger amounts of money or maybe sell your everything you have to be healed, you know, would have you not done it? He said, this is a, you know, pretty simple thing. Maybe it's worth a try. We should just go over there and try it. And they did. And they dipped 7 times in the river and he was healed. The Bible says his skin was as healthy as a child's. Naaman went back to Elisha's house and tried to give him many gifts, but Elisha refused them. He said, I can't take these gifts because it wasn't me that healed you. He said, it was the God of heaven. And I was thinking, that's interesting that God even, he's no respecter of persons. Naaman was, you know, technically an enemy to the Israelites, and God still healed him. Naaman left Elisha's house and started back towards his home. And I'll read here. I think it's pretty simple to understand in this translation. The greed of Gehazi. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said to himself, my master should not have let this Aramean get away without accepting any of his gifts. As surely as the Lord lives, I will chase after him and get something from him. So we can see that it started in his heart, right? He was thinking about how could he get his hands on some of that money. It was not just a small amount. It was, he would be very rich if he could get it. So Gehazi set out after Naaman. When Naaman saw Gehazi running after him, he climbed down from his chariot and went to meet him. Is everything all right? Naaman asked. Yes, Gehazi said, but my master has sent me to tell you that 2 young prophets from the hill country of Ephraim have just arrived. He would like 75 pounds of silver and 2 sets of clothes to give to them. So we see it started out in his heart. He was greedy. He was trying to figure out how to get some of that money. And now he had his way to get it was he had to lie about it. By all means, take twice as much silver, Naaman insisted. So Naaman here was unselfish. He said he was thankful for just being healed, and he said, absolutely, that's no problem. You take twice as much as you need. He gave him 2 sets of clothes and tied up the money in 2 bags and sent 2 of his servants to carry the gifts for Gehazi. But when they arrived at the citadel, Gehazi took the gifts from the servants and sent the men back. Then he went and hid the gifts inside the house. So now he had the money, and he was probably fairly rich, but he was unhappy. He went back home, and he wasn't going to enjoy the money because he had to hide it. He took it in the house and he hid it. When he went into his master Elisha asked him, where have you been, Gehazi? I haven't been anywhere, he replied. So it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. Now he had to lie again to pretend that he wasn't somewhere. But Elisha asked him, "Don't you realize that I was there in spirit when Naaman stepped down from the chariot to meet you?" So he said, "God allowed me to see what happened, and I there's nothing hid from me. I've seen everything that happened. Is this the time to receive money and clothes, olive groves and vineyards, sheep and cattle, male and female servants? Because of this that you have done, you and your descendants will suffer from Naaman's leprosy forever." When Gehazi left the room, he was covered with leprosy. His skin was white as snow. So we see there, he had greed. It started in his heart, and then he had to lie about it. And I was thinking, Gehazi had a bright future. He was the servant of Elisha. Elisha was once the servant of Elijah. And now Gehazi was the servant of Elisha. And he had messed that up because of greed. So we can easily think that the more things that we have, maybe it's toys, dolls, or maybe it's even small things like candy, that the more we have, the happier we will be, but that is not the case. I would like to encourage you children to practice giving things to others that you would like to keep. Things that you think would make you happy, try giving them to someone else and see what happens. I believe it will bring you great joy and contentment. The excitement you get when you receive a gift, you can get that same excitement when you give a gift. I was thinking greed is one of the main reasons that many people are in the prisons today. They have seen something that they thought they had to have, and sometimes they would even kill someone to get it. So greed led them to start stealing. It started with small things. They maybe stole some candy. It went to a softball. Maybe some money somewhere. One day they had the nerve to try to steal a car. And then they stole another car. And then they robbed a bank. And many times it took them places where they would have never thought they would have got to. So learn from a young age to be happy with what you have. And practice giving things to others. Remember what the Bible says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So I think it's all I have for you. And I'll pray and then you guys can go back to your seats. So let's pray. Lord, we come to you and we thank you for this day. Thank you for these children. Pray that you would help them to understand what I shared here this morning and that you would just help each one of us, even us adults. We can easily get wrapped up in greed and thinking about our next job, and it's a good paying job, and just pray that you would help us to keep our priorities straight, and just pray for Dad here with the main message, that you would bless him and give him peace and wisdom and give him words from you. We just pray that you'd be in our midst here the remainder of the day. In your name we pray. Amen.